Bless the Lord, everybody. We're going to hang out. Grab your Bible. Stay standing. Grab your Bibles. Open up to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Give me my iPad, please. I need to grab this from you. I know you're passing stuff out, but next several weeks, as Jenny has talked, Christmas is coming, and we're going to be doing, I've asked them to just all Christmas all the time. We just want to celebrate. We're going to sing some of the great Christmas songs and just celebrate what has happened over these next 3 weeks. And I want to really encourage you, the Sunday before Christmas, 70% of the people who say they started in a church say they started because a friend invited them. That's how they came to Christ, because a friend invited them to church. And Christmas is one of the two top times of the year that people will come if you invite them. And so take advantage of that. And that's Sunday before Christmas. Look at your friends, your coworkers, people live next door to you and say, hey, why don't you come out and celebrate Christmas with us? And we're going to talk that day about why we should celebrate Christmas. And we're going to have a great morning that morning. But all three of these next Sundays, come and just let's just have a great time together. Next Sunday, if you're new here, just relax a second. Let me do a little home business here. Every year, people want to know what they can do for staff, and we do a staff bonus offering, a staff offering every year that goes to our staff. To the other than me, it goes to all the others. And if you want to give in that, you can do that next week. If you haven't gotten a letter on that, you'll get one this week reminding you of that. And so I just wanted to let you be thinking about that. And then finally, before I read the scripture today, some things have changed as we move to the new building. And one of the things that have changed is what we intentionally really built our entryway larger. There's food out there. They actually have breakfast sandwiches. You can come early before church and get a breakfast sandwich. You can come before church on Wednesday night, and they have soup and sandwich and other stuff. Just come an hour early, come early and just hang out, talk to some people. I've had some wonderful times getting to talk to people that usually it's just been, hi, how are you? And off we go our different ways. But now we have this wonderful opportunity to sit down and talk. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of that, hang out after church, get something to drink, and stand around and talk with some folks. Fellowship is a key part of what this is all about. And we want to encourage you to get to know some other folks. We're talking today a little bit about getting it together. Do you have an area in your life that is not functioning the way you'd like for it to function? You're not having the life in it that you think the Word of God promises to you. How do we get it together? How do we get there and have this life that God has promises? The scripture we're reading is in Colossians, and Paul is writing to them, and he's telling them that I've heard about you, and here's what I'm praying for you. And these prayers are put in there so we know how to pray for each other, and we know what's important. So listen to this one, Colossians chapter 1. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge, the knowledge of His will, and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's a law of implication in the word that we need to understand. There are things that are unsaid but that are implied, and here's one of them. He is praying that they would walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, that they would live a life pleasing God, and that they would bear much fruit. The implication is this, that you can walk in a manner not worthy of God, you can walk in a manner that is not pleasing to Him, and you can live your life and not bear fruit. And so he's praying that they won't miss this great opportunity to walk in a manner worthy of Christ, walk in a manner pleasing to Him, and bear fruit. We should be aware of that. We should pray that for each other and pray that for ourselves. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Father, anoint this word to us today. Let us hear it and grow in it. Let us understand what you're saying to us. Let us understand how your kingdom works. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a moment, say hello to a bunch of people around you and greet them, and then you can be seated today. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay, I need your cooperation for a couple minutes here. I'm going to ask a series of questions, and I need you to answer those questions. Honestly, remember you're in church, okay? Should never have to remember that because you should always be honest, right? Always be honest. So here's some questions. How many of you today, if you were placed in a wood shop, given the proper materials, without a plan, without any sketches, you could just, from your knowledge, you could make a kitchen table today? Raise your hand if that's you. All right. There's some of you that could do that today. How many of you could, without a pattern, but if you were given some material and get, you could make a dress today? You have the ability to do that. Yeah. Good. How many of you today, if you were put in a garage with the proper equipment, could change a transmission in a car today? Yeah. How many of you could make a lure or a fly, I don't even know what to call it, for fly fishing? You could make one today if you had the right things. You know how to do that. All right. How many of you could, now seriously, seriously, how many of you could seriously lead an aerobics class today? You can do that. You have the skills and knowledge. All right. How many of you speak more than one language? Yeah. All right. How many of you, if necessity required it, could actually operate on somebody and remove their appendix today? I see a couple of hands. Stacy scares me when she raises her hand and stuff like this. She just said, I don't know if they'll live or not. That's really. I should have said successfully, shouldn't I? I should have had a qualifier in there. Okay. How many of you from scratch? Not from a box, from scratch, could make a German chocolate cake today. Raise your hand. Okay, I want to see all of you after church. I need to talk to you. You know, the amazing thing about these things is this. You weren't born with this knowledge. There's some instinctual things, by instinct, that we do. But you don't, by instinct, make a German chocolate cake. You don't, by instinct, make a dress. You don't, by instinct, learn how to change a transmission in a car. No, that's knowledge that you gained over a lifetime. You learned lessons someplace. And with most of these things, all of us, if we were given the time and had the interest, could learn some of these things. Now, we may sit here today and say, how many of you couldn't do any of those things? And some of you may have to raise, can't do any of those things. But there's other knowledge that you have that maybe other people don't have. Things that you've learned to do, that you've picked up in life, that other people don't have. You have gained knowledge as you've walked on this earth. At Christmas time this year, people will get gifts. They get a camera, or they may get a TV, or they may get maybe that somebody will get a new phone or a computer, or many, many kinds of gifts that will require the person to grow in knowledge to be able to use it properly. They'll get out the instructions, or they'll sit down with somebody who has one just like it, and they will give them knowledge, and they'll practice on it to become proficient at it, and maybe proficient at different levels. So this aspect that we recognize that in life, we have to be a people, if we want to accomplish certain things, that there's certain knowledge that we have to obtain to be able to do those things. And we get that knowledge in certain ways. We read, we study, we listen to a video, we go on YouTube, we talk to somebody who knows something. And these things impart to us knowledge that without that knowledge, we couldn't do that thing. Couldn't get it done. Now, I want to stress this to you because there's a strange phenomenon that happens in Christian faith. And that is that for some strange reason, we just think that, you know, we know what to do. People get saved. Even people go to church, and we just kind of think, we got it. I got this. All the evidence around them may say they don't got it. I was in a church once years ago, and a little church asked me to come and do some consulting with them, and they brought me in, and they gave me a podium. This is, I'm telling you, there's no exaggeration of the story. They gave me a podium. I set my Bible on the podium, and it fell over. And I thought, what would I do wrong? I looked at it. I don't know, everything was in place. Set it back up, put my Bible on it, and it fell over. He had to hold the podium if it had anything on it. And I finally said to the pastor, I said, do we have anything else I can use? He said, So what's the problem? He goes, Sister so-and-so back there, her husband made that. Her feelings get hurt if we don't use it. I said, it's no good. Sister so-and-so needs to get over it. The podium falls over when you put anything on it. You know, I don't know what he thought he would do. It had to have a price. So that's the way some people, their life is. They think they got it, and it's the podium's falling over. You've got to grow in this knowledge. So knowledge is this first thing, this first step towards getting it together in the kingdom of God. I've got to apply myself to knowing how the kingdom of God works. This is what Paul's praying for, is that they would discover the fullness of the kingdom of God in their life. The kingdom of God is the rules, the way the kingdom works, the way the simplest way I found to describe this is like going to a new job and them handing you a new handbook for how that company works. You've got to read it and understand to understand how vacation time works and how sick time works and how the rules work, what's expected out of you. You've got to read it and you've got to know it. I've got to understand, I'm stepping into a new kingdom. I've got to have knowledge how this kingdom works. And Paul is praying that they would get this knowledge and they would grow in that knowledge. It's the first step. So Jesus here, our Savior, wants us to have fullness of life. He wants you to have fullness of life. But he knows you've got to get some knowledge. And he calls the church to go out, those who are saved, to go out and to make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student. If somebody came to you and you're one of these people who can make German chocolate cake from scratch, and they said, teach me how to make German chocolate cake from scratch, they would become your student about making German chocolate cake. If they came and said, hey, I understand you're a woodworker, I'd like to learn to work with wood, I don't know how to do that, they would become your student in learning how to do that. And in the same sense, if we want to become formed in the image of Christ, and learn, we have to become students of Jesus and his way of living. And the implied thought here is that we need to learn a different way of living. That we shouldn't think we've got it, but that we should think, I need to dive in and learn it. Listen, the sin nature comes naturally. You're born with it. The Christ nature is implanted in us, and we grow it, we feed it by learning. So I've got to pour my life into growing in knowledge. How does the kingdom work? Now, as I grow in knowledge, the first real battlefield in life is now wisdom. Wisdom. Because, see, friends, knowledge is required for me to have wisdom. I've got to know how to do it to know how to apply it. And wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So, it's like this. You could take all of the ingredients today to a German chocolate cake. You can come by my house, say, Pastor, I heard you like German chocolate cake. Here's, and you can come in, spread them out on my counter, and say, see you later. And you could leave, and you know what I would not have 4 hours later? I would not have a German chocolate cake. I would have the ingredients to a German chocolate cake, but I wouldn't have a German chocolate cake. Knowledge is they're the ingredients. They're the ingredients. And I've known people who have all kinds of biblical knowledge. They have all the ingredients. In fact, they can throw them in your face. They can quote things to you. They can challenge every doctrinal belief you have and confuse you if you're not. They've got all kinds of knowledge. They have no love in their spirit at all. They have no compassion for others at all. They're not living it in any way themselves at all. They've got all kinds of knowledge. They have no wisdom. They have no wisdom. They shipwreck their children. They wreck their lives. They make a mess out of things wherever they go. And yet they can quote the scripture inside and out. They've got the ingredients on the counter. They don't know how to put them together. This first battlefield, the first real battlefield in life, in the spiritual concept, is that I get the knowledge that is required for wisdom and that I learn how to apply that wisdom in my life. Now, I want to warn you, there's a lot of people running around, and there's all kinds of books. I hear you get all kinds of books written on spiritual deliverance and rebuking the enemy and spiritual warfare. And we'll talk about this more in a minute. So people running around, they got a problem in their life. Their kid's not doing the right thing, or their marriage is not in the right place. Their finances are struggling, or they got some other issue going on in life. And they're running to everybody they can for prayer. And they're wanting to have deliverance. I'm going to list deliverance. I'm going to get delivered. And they're running all around. Now, here's the reality of the matter. They're rebuking the enemy in their life. And the enemy's looking at God going, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. That's all them. That's all them. Why? Because they don't have any knowledge. And they haven't turned into wisdom. They're making the mess. They can come down here and get prayed for day after day after day, but if they don't start acting in knowledge and wisdom, their wife's not going to trust them any more than she did before, because they're not changing any actions. In those cases, I mean, God could look at the angels and say, what's up? And they say, no enemy here. It's just them. It's just them. They're not doing what they need to do, so they're reaping things they shouldn't need to reap. because they haven't learned how to act in knowledge. Oh, I could take all those ingredients of German chocolate cake and put them together, shove them in the oven. No telling what's coming out of that oven. It's most likely not going to be a German chocolate cake. Why? Because we need wisdom. We need to learn how to do things. Some people are like my nieces when they were little. My nieces were little. They'd come over to our house. And my dad, those of you who knew my dad, he was a big teaser. One of the ways you knew my dad loved you is he teased you. If he didn't tease you, he was still uncertain about you a little bit. But he would give you a hard time. And he teased my nieces endlessly. He would get them. Here's what he would do with them. He'd get them, and he'd hold them by their wrists. And he'd say, "You can't breathe. I'm squeezing you so tightly, you can't breathe." And they would freak out. They would be screaming and yelling, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." You'd be saying, if you couldn't breathe, you couldn't scream. They would just be going crazy. And finally, my mom would come in and take them away from him. And they would go over to the other side of the room, and she'd go back into the kitchen, wherever she was at, and he would put his hands up like this. He'd say, "I've got a kitten. Meow, meow. I've got a brand new little kitten. Do you want to see the kitten?" And here they come right back over to him. Over and over and over again, they would come to see the kitten. Until finally, my mom would come in and take them away and say, "You're coming into the kitchen with me. Do not go back in there. I will not rescue you again." That is the way some people are in their faith and their walk. They keep going right back into the same trap over and over and over again in their relationships, in their finances, in their health, in their emotions. They keep putting themselves back in the same place. The enemy keeps beckoning, and they should know by now he doesn't have anything except to grab a hold of me. They've got to get some wisdom to stay away from that, to learn, to get out of it. Say, I need to start acting some way differently than this if I want to have some different results. See, here's the deal. Knowledge and wisdom can be a big leap. Here's how we span this gap. Here's how God teaches us to span the gap. We gain the knowledge. And then he says, now, if any among you lack wisdom, ask it of me that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and I'll give it to you. He says, pray about it. Where's the area in your life that you're not reaping results of God? Is it in your spirit? Is it in your spirit? Is it in your relationships? Is it in your ministry? Is it in your finances? Where is it? Get all the knowledge you can. First thing, get all the knowledge you can. And then ask God for wisdom. Now, there's another thing you do. He gives us another step. Let's get very careful. You hear this. Get wise counsel. Now, what is wise counsel? Wise counsel is not the same people who have the same knowledge that you do and are getting the same results you're getting. Wise counsel is a guy who is living in wisdom and is getting the results of wisdom. That's the guy I want to go seek out. I want to go find the guy who has the great marriage. I want to find the guy who's raised the great kids. I want to find the guy who's biblically, financially been successful. I want to find the guy who is the man of character in the workplace, godliness in the workplace. And I want to go to them and say, "How you doing this? How'd you become this guy, this gal, this person?" And I want to get counsel. I want to seek out the way they've lived instead of copying my life off of somebody who has never gotten there. So the practical steps God gives us is we attain knowledge, pray for wisdom, and seek out counsel to get wisdom. So knowledge plus prayer times counsel brings us wisdom. Now, let me just stress this. If you talk to good cooks, people who are good cooks, they'll tell you. You'll say, how'd you become a good cook? Well, when I was growing up, mom taught me. Dad taught me. So-and-so taught me. If they're chefs, you'll say, well, you know, I love cooking. I was learning how to cook. And then I went to this school where these chefs were at, and they taught me how to be a great chef. So you learn something. You can meet people that are realtors. Realtors can go to, they take it, they study, they take a test, they get their realtor's license. Does a person having a realtor's license mean they're a great realtor? No. All realtors are not the same. Some are bad. And some are really good. Because when you get around the good ones and you ask them, how'd you become good? You know what you hear most of the time? When I was a young gal, I got in this office, there's another realtor there, and boy, they poured into my life. I watched them, I learned from them, I grew from them. They taught me so much stuff that I became a much better at this than I ever did on my own. You get around lawyers, you get a lot of people pass the bar exam, but all lawyers are not the same. Some lawyers are good lawyers and some lawyers are not. So many times you get around that good lawyer and say, well, what happened? Well, when I got out of law school, I got in with this group of guys or this person over here, this gal over there, and wow, I just learned so much about how to apply all that knowledge and how to make it all work, because this wisdom thing is more than just a bunch of knowledge. The wisdom thing is about how to take that knowledge and use it. Occasionally, as a minister, I'll meet somebody I haven't seen in years, and they will look at me and say, yeah, I'm licensed in the ministry now. Really? Good for you. I'm ordained now. Really? Well, how'd that happen? Well, I paid this fee online, and I got my ministry license. Good for you. I took a test online. Good for you. What's your ministry look like? Well, I'm still waiting for an opportunity. Still waiting. Well, they got knowledge. It's not taking them anyplace, because they haven't gotten the wisdom to take those steps. Knowledge is the first step that you need to gain to get it together. And if there's a problem, I would tell you, if you've got a problem, you want to gain all the knowledge about it you can. But you need to understand, I've got to now take that knowledge and I need to find some way for that knowledge to turn into wisdom, to change the way I act, because wisdom is about how I'm acting now and what I'm doing now and what has changed in my life. This is why the statistics tell us that most people who win the lottery are broke within 5 to 7 years. They got all the money in the world coming at them. They haven't learned how to control the money at the world coming at them. If they didn't know it when they were only making $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year, they sure don't know how to do it when they're getting paid $50,000, $100,000 a year. They just spend it in bigger ways and faster ways. Are you with me? Are you getting this? So my issue, when I look at a place in my life where it's not together, I want to gain knowledge. And in being a Christian, let's just set aside any issues that we may have. Let's just talk about being a spirit-filled, anointed, joyful, purposeful believer, where life is focused on the right things. Because see, a lot of people, that's where the stumbles at. It's not some big, it's the big issue. Am I really living a faithful life before God? Do I really know Him? Am I really living for Him? And the first thing you've got to do to get there is to begin to grow in knowledge. This is why we tell you, read the Word every day. You want to grow in knowledge? begin to read the Word every day. At the beginning of this next year, last week of December, we'll give out a Bible reading plan. And if you want to read through the Bible in a year, I'll show you just how to do that. Real easy. You got to put in some time and effort. But hear me, nobody can read the Bible for you. I can't read the Bible for you. Your husband or wife can't read it for you. You've got to determine that you're going to find a way to read it and comprehend it. But if you begin to read the Bible and you begin to pray, God, I don't want to just know this in my head. I want it in my heart. Help me to understand. We'll give you a plan that's not about reading through the Bible. It's just about beginning reading through the Bible and so how you can start to read through the Bible. We'll give you some plans to help you that may just want to, I just need to gain some knowledge. I just need to get my feet wet in this thing and start growing. And it'll help you grow in knowledge. But you've got to enter into it. You've got to do that yourself. You've got to determine, I am hungry to be formed in the image of Christ, and so I'm going to read His Word that He's given me for that very purpose. The other thing you do is you get faithful to church. You're faithful. You come every week. Say, you know what? I want to sit under teaching, and I want to sit under preaching, and I'm going to come out, and I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn. There's some of you today, frankly, I'm just going to tell you, some of you in this room, love you with all my heart. You need to tap into the power of God because you're fighting some real battles in your life. And we've been talking about this for 3 months on Wednesday night, and you haven't bothered to come. You're missing knowledge. That's available for you to have, but you've got to determine that you want it bad enough to seek it, to go after it. Here's the third thing, get in a C2 group. You know, the bottom line purpose of C2 groups is we want people to have great fellowship together, to build great relationship, to really be the body of Christ, and to talk about practical Christian living. How do I take the Word and apply it to this set of circumstances in my life? Do you realize even as we talk today, the thing we're talking about today applies at different levels to the teenager than it does to the person who's 70. So how do I apply it? How do I take this? Where do I go with it from here? How do I begin to use this in my life? And you begin to learn and you begin to grow in the knowledge of the Word, whether that's career or your spouse or children or emotions. What do I need to learn? And then I seek wisdom. I do that by praying. God, help me to apply this. I do that by getting good counsel in my life. Say, well, Pastor, do you not believe in spiritual warfare? I certainly believe in spiritual warfare. Absolutely believe in it. I just also believe that there's no reason the enemy has to declare war on me if I'm acting foolishly. He didn't do anything to me. I'm doing it to myself. I'm beating myself up. I'm putting myself in the bad place until I begin to act in wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you, you begin to act in wisdom, you're going to face some spiritual warfare. Now listen to what it says in Ephesians, and we'll go home here in just a minute. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So he's telling us there's an enemy that has schemes against you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. After you've done everything, to stand. So whenever there's a problem, the first thing I want to know is, do I have the right knowledge to deal with it? Then I want to know, am I applying that knowledge wisely? Now, if I surround myself with godly, wise people, and they look at me and they say, wow, you're in the middle of this battle, and you've been a faithful husband, or you've been a faithful father, or you've been a faithful whatever, you're still not reaping the fruit that you're supposed to reap, you know what you're in now? You're in a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual battle. You don't begin to get there till you act wisely. You're in a spiritual battle. And I want to take this thing on spiritually. I need to learn how to do that. And so it says here, right here, after I've done everything. What is everything? After I've acted in wisdom. Let me go on. We're going to wrap this up. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around you. What is this? This is knowledge and wisdom around your waist. With the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? This is wisdom. I'm doing the right things. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is where I can fight the enemy. I can fight the enemy now because I'm walking in the right place. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The first part in all of this is knowledge and wisdom. Listen. If you're just mean and nasty to your wife, you can claim, God, give me victory all day long. You ignore biblical financial principles. You can pray, God, bless me all day long. All day long, bless me. Stop the enemy, thwart the enemy. But you've given the enemy inroad into your life by not walking in wisdom. I've got to apply the wisdom of God into my life. So until we get wisdom, the enemy doesn't need to waste spiritual warfare on me at all. So that's the call of the day. The call of the day is to understand that Paul looked at these new Christians and he said, from the day I heard about you, I started praying for you. And here's what I prayed for you. I prayed that you would grow in the knowledge of him, that you get spiritual understanding, that you'd be transformed from the old kingdom that you've been delivered from, the one that did have domain over your life, into his kingdom, and you'd learn to walk in it. And now we understand, wow, I need to get free from that old domain. I need to walk in the wisdom of God. I need to walk in the knowledge of God, and I better be serious about it. So here's the one piece of knowledge I would give you today before you leave. This is a piece of knowledge that the enemy is trying to keep you from understanding. This is a piece of knowledge that the enemy is trying to undermine every way he can in our society today. And that's this very simple thing. There is only one way to have peace with God. Jesus is the only way. There's not many different ways that people are doing that that's going to get them all to the same place. There's one way. And that's through a relationship with Jesus. See, the reason we put this cross out up here is because we celebrate the work that was done for us that we could never do for ourselves. The reason Jesus isn't on the cross is because he came off of it victorious. He is victorious today. And to any of us who go to the cross, his blood will cover us, will deliver us from sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and set us on a new path in Christ Jesus. And friend, when you get that knowledge, then there's got to be a convicting power of the Spirit that makes you go, I want that in my life. I surrender my heart to that. I receive Jesus as my Lord, my boss, the one who's over me. Not my flesh is no longer over me. The world no longer is over me. What Jesus wants is what I do. He's my Lord. And he's my Savior. And when I worry and think about what's going to happen in the future life, I rest in Jesus' name. I rest in his name. Because see, in that battle, friend, the battle's already been won for anybody who'll cry out to him. Let's stand together today and let's pray. Father, I just pray that this message today will help us to just be serious, more serious students of your word. Lord, those who are already serious, just let them just flourish in. Those who, Father, have not taken this serious step, to say, you know what, I want to be formed in every way in the image of Jesus. That today, they would begin to determine. Today they would determine. They're going to start seeking your knowledge. Father, today there's people in this room that need to cross that line of faith and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's some in this room, Father, who are going through great spiritual battles. We pray for them today, Lord, that they've done everything right. They've lived according to your word. They've walked in wisdom, and the battle rages around them. Remind them today, victory is ahead. Remind them today, they've done the right things. They're in right order with you. And this battle will only go on for so long. And then you'll intervene. But Father, for those of us in this room, those in this room who need to cross that line of faith, convict them today and draw them today. Let them make that step today in Jesus' name. It's every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. If you'll say, Pastor, today I need to ask Christ to be my Savior. Again, nobody can do this for you. This doesn't happen because you took a class someplace, passed it. You got knowledge in that class. Maybe you think back about that class and you think about what you took and somebody confirmed you or told you that you were okay, but nothing really happened inside of you. You never really made, there was never really a transformation. It was just head stuff. You need a transformation today. You need to be changed. You'll say, Pastor, that's me. Today, I want the full work of Christ done in my life. If that's you, just raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Others today, you'll raise your hand and say, pray for me. Anyone else today?